You're listening to an episode of the Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life podcast with your host, Kim Olver.
This is Kim, and welcome to the 196th episode of Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life. If you like today's episode, be sure to leave me a review wherever you listen to your podcasts and share with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag me at Olver International. Today, we'll be continuing our conversation about leadership with Mary Meduna Gross, a fellow advocate of choice theory. Mary, a dedicated advocate for conscious business owners, positions herself as their partner in unleashing their fullest potential. With a background shaped by 6 years in the U.S. Naval Reserves, including deployment in Operation Desert Storm as a hospital corpsman, and over 2 decades as an educator and instructional leader, Mary brings a unique blend of experience to the intersection of self-leadership and personal development. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mary.
Thank you for having me. I really have been looking forward to this conversation. My choice theory reality therapy certification was the first certification that I got, and it's at my root. It's at my core.
Wow. Foundational. I love that. How about starting with what it's like for you as you began learning how to live from a place of choice?
I must be a slow learner because I was certified in the mid-90s. And at the same time I was going through certification, I was also earning my master's degree in counseling. So it was a good pair for me. One of the things I liked about Glasser's perspective is really that we're not broken. Whereas in my mental health training, I kind of felt like we had to tell people they were broken in order to be able to serve them. That's one of the things that I really latched on to with the Glasser work. And then, of course, the empowering piece. And yet, this is where the slow learner piece comes in. I can look at it now and see that I was going through this training and I was learning this so that I could, and I'm going to use these words intentionally, do this to children, right? I was teaching kids with emotional and behavioral disabilities. And I knew, and through practice, it proved that these strategies really supported my students. It was great. I'll tell this quick story. So after my certification, I had moved to Northwest Indiana, and I was hired to be a teacher in an elementary classroom for kids with emotional behavioral disabilities. That whole classroom had all of the adults were subs for an entire year. So there was no consistent teacher or assistant.
No relationships.
Nothing happening. And so when I was brought to this classroom, I was, this is going to be your classroom. It was wild. Literally kids climbing the walls. I thought, wow, okay, this is something. I think within 2 years, all of those kids were functioning healthily in the regular setting. So I knew that what I was doing and everything I did was rooted in Glasser's philosophy and practices. And so I saw the power of it. I wasn't using this for myself at all. And I never even questioned that. I moved into leadership after that role and I struggled immensely. And I'm still not going back and picking it up, right? I'm still not using it. I don't know what was in my way. Went through my whole career as an educator, burned out from that career. I had this tool. I had these resources. I wasn't using them, burned out from it. And then I got pushed out, right? And so my superintendent says, look, Mary, you're doing all the right things, but what you're doing is not working. You got to figure this out or you have to go. That was the moment when I thought, okay, wow, how do I get out of this? I must know something. I must have something that can help me get out of this. I went back to my desk and I asked myself, Mary, how are you contributing to what's happening here? It was the first time I was really taking responsibility because prior to that, I saw myself as the fixer. I was the one hired to come in and fix the system. Mm-hmm. What I didn't realize is that if I saw myself as a fixer, somebody needed to be fixed. Mm-hmm. Right. And so at the core, so when I asked myself, how am I contributing? What came up for me was the Johari window. And all you need to know about this Johari window is that there's part of you that you don't know and no one else does either. And I thought, oh my gosh, because I'm doing the right things, right? Externally, I'm doing the right things. That must mean that whatever is in my unknown quadrant is what's holding me back. This is what I have to figure out. And that's when I decided to become the coach that I wish that I'd had. Now, it still took me some time. So now I'm going through my coach certification process and learning skills. And I can recognize that the skills I'm learning there, oh, this is what I learned when I did my certification with Glassdoor. This is what I learned in my counseling program, right? It's all familiar to me. But it wasn't until my health then failed that I said, okay, I have to start applying everything that I know, whether it's Glassdoor or whether it's personal development, whether it's leadership, I've got to start applying this to myself. That first piece about taking ownership is one of the things I wanted to shout the most is one, only when we are willing to take ownership will anything change.
Yes. Yes, yes. And your story so mirrors my own because I learned this in 1987 when I was working at a foster care agency and I used it with families and children. I did it to them, not necessarily with them. It was like I was doing it to them. It was working just fine. But at home, I was still yelling at my kids and nagging my husband, and I wasn't using it for myself. It wasn't until my husband got sick in the mid-90s that I started applying it to myself. And it took crises in my life, like it sounded like maybe you had, that I didn't have the tools to manage at that time. Well, actually, I did have the tools, but I wasn't using them. That it caused me to look inside and say, okay, you better start using some of this stuff that you're preaching and using on others. Use it with yourself. Our stories are quite similar. It's very interesting. No wonder we have this affinity for each other. Right. I'm going to guess that you're not unique. And like many other people who start to learn and use choice theory, that it's easy to drift away from it. And I know that when I do work with people with substance use disorders, I hate that word disorders, but when they have substance abuse issues, is they talk about relapse is most common with the acronym HALT, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. That's really true. There's an analogy of using choice theory, we're getting into recovery from external control. But when we're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, stressed, short on time, it's easy to go back to external control and we fall off the choice theory wagon, so to speak. What was it that helped you stay with the process, especially in the beginning of the journey? Because I know it's not easy.
Yeah, it took me decades to really start to apply this to myself. The parts that kind of came together for me, one is this idea of ownership. I've got to make that decision for myself. That's the first choice that I have to make. Mm-hmm. And then once I made that choice, now this concept about external control versus internal control took on a whole new meaning for me. Now, part of that too is through the coaching certification program I went through, we have what we call the energy leadership model. And so we have this 7 levels of perceptions, the lenses through which we can see the world and how our stories, our emotions, and our behaviors all align with wherever our perceptions are on this chart. And what I noticed about this chart, and so there's 7 levels. Level 1 is the victim. Level 2 is the fighter. I got to win and you're going to lose. And level 3 is, I'm still going to win, but I'm not going to get in the way of you anymore. So I'm not going to hold you down anymore. You're on your own, basically. And this is really that level where we start to take responsibility for ourselves because we're in that level 1, level 2. We don't know. We're not aware of that there's other possibilities. Our perception is so narrow. That's where the external and the internal started to make sense to me. When we're in these victim states, we see life is happening to us. It's all external. Right. And, mm-hmm. and we're chasing what we want versus allowing what we want to come to us or creating what we want, which is all on that internal side. And this model, levels 4 through 7, is all about allowing and being internally driven versus externally driven. For me, that framework was an additional support to understand the difference between external and internal.
It also sounds like continuous learning. You strike me as a lifelong learner and you're always looking to deepen your understanding of what you do. And if you're choosing compatible things, it's just going to reinforce one another, which can be really helpful in staying the course. That's really awesome. Yeah. What tools are you using now to keep you in a place of choice with this whole podcast, Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life? What do you do that keeps you in that space?
That came about through a practice of self-awareness. I started doing this to other people first before I started doing it myself. But teaching other people self-awareness. And then I started to practice it myself because I felt like I have to have some credibility here, right? I've got to practice what I preach. One of the reasons why I hesitated to start a practice of self-awareness is that I was already aware of that voice in my head, and it wasn't very nice. There was nothing about that that made me want to get closer to that. I just wanted to keep pushing that off. Again, taking that ownership piece. All right, I may not like this. This may not be comfortable, but this is important. I started to listen to that voice. One quick story on listening to this voice that really caught my attention, said you need to pay attention to this more often, is I was doing a workshop in a high school and I had forgotten something in my car. Most high schools, their parking lots are 2 blocks long and they're 2 blocks away and the building itself is another block long. And so I'm in the school and I realize I left something in my car. And so I start this long walk out to the car and I get to the door and I realize I've forgotten my keys. I literally started beating myself up in that moment. I heard myself say, how idiot, like, why would you do? It went on and on. I'm like, holy crap. Do you really say this to yourself? It's keys. You've got plenty of time. There's really no problem here other than me beating myself up because I forgot keys, which means I'm going to have to take this walk again. Big deal. Big deal. That awareness of listening to that inner voice, again, I'm not listening to it. It's not necessarily true, but it reflects back to me what I believe about myself, how I value myself, and really what I want as well. In this case, I wanted to be set up and ready. I wanted to be there greeting people as they were coming in the door. I didn't want to be running out to my car. What I wanted was that connection. And what I was getting was an errand or a chore. That's one of those striking experiences where I really had to get clear about what is it that you really want here? Why are you so upset about this? Being able to listen to that voice, to get under the deeper, what are you complaining about? What are you criticizing me for? What's this about? That has helped me get clear on what is that I really want and what beliefs I have that contradict what I really want. So I want to be seen as open and contributing and available, but I also have beliefs about you got to stay small. Do not outshine anyone. Just kind of be the wallflower. Contribute when you can, but don't stand out in any way. And I started to see how my beliefs were in contrast to what I wanted. So no wonder I wasn't creating what I wanted. I didn't believe that I was worthy of that or capable of it.
Yeah. Changing the mindset is a big key, and being clear about what you want and going after what you want, not just, I really want this. Will you give it to me? But taking charge and taking control and moving in a direction of what you actually want.
Yeah. Advocating for myself. That was one signal that I realized that I had improved. Instead of this voice always criticizing me, judging me, telling me I wasn't doing things well enough, it was about a year ago, in fact, I was washing dishes and I heard this voice, and it was almost seemed to be outside of me, that said, you know what, Mary, you're doing exactly what you need to be doing right now. Because the other chatter in my head was, why am I washing dishes right now? I've got other things that I need to do. That would have been the normal chatter.
Yes.
But
yes.
This day it was, this is exactly what you need to be doing in this moment. And I turned around. I thought, is somebody here with me? And then it was like, no, Mary. It was almost like, no, I'm in here. It's us. It's you. You're doing exactly what you need to do. And I thought, oh my gosh, this voice can actually be encouraging. This voice can actually be supportive. I like this voice.
Yeah, let's get to know this voice a little better.
Exactly. Yeah.
Take her out to lunch.
That's right. Yes.
Hearing about your journey and hearing about where you are now makes me wonder about, not to rob any moments from the present, but what do you have in your plans for the future?
Oh my gosh. To me, the future is so open. Impossible. And I've also come to see that everything that I've been through has been for a purpose to prepare me for this future. And this future is really all about what I always wanted it to be about. When I was an undergrad, the first decision I had made for myself is that I was going to be a special educator because I thought that I had seen my peers in school. I had seen peers that struggled with learning and teachers didn't quite know what to do with them and felt like they kind of got left out. And I thought, I could learn how to teach anybody. And I figured if I could learn to teach anybody, then or with challenges, I could teach anybody. Very soon after committing to that, I remember I was still an undergrad. I had also said, oh, you know what? This is going to be so great. I don't want to just influence one classroom. I want to influence a whole building. I want to influence an entire system where all the teachers, we all feel completely confident to teach anyone who walks into our classrooms. That's still what I want. The unknown quadrant, that is the piece that holds all of us back from becoming who we ultimately can be. And so what I am going to continue to do is to work with people to help them uncover what's in their unknown quadrant, help them see the choices that they have available to them. They feel stuck. And from their perception, the way they're seeing the world now, they're stuck. But I can show them how else they can see the world, especially with this continuum. Through that, what I intend is to really focus on business leaders who are what we're calling conscious business right now, conscious capitalism, conscious entrepreneurship, where we're not just in business for the purpose of our stakeholders. We are in business for all of our shareholders, meaning our internal shareholders, our external shareholders, our suppliers, our customers, our community, right? We're here for everybody. So talking about this perception of feeling stuck, and from our perspective, that is our reality. And so here's how this shows up. So recently I was in a conversation with one of my clients and he was in a situation that he felt really stuck, the proverbial rock in a hard place. Being able to help him see, what if this was a gift? And I asked him, I said, do you have the skills and the ability to resolve this issue completely? He goes, yeah, of course I do. Okay, well then let's stay focused on that. Let's stay focused on your gifts, your talents, what you've already learned, what you're going to be learning through this process, and stay in that space of possibility rather than getting sucked into this external world where we're judging ourselves because we're sure other people are judging us. And we're trying to manipulate and control these variables out here to get us out of this problem. We don't have to do that. That's not necessary. And he even said towards the end of the call, he goes, well, I already have a plan. I said, of course you do. I had no doubt that you had a plan for this. Tell me again why we need to be judging ourselves. What are we gaining from that? That's the kind of gift that I think I can offer these business leaders. Who else do we go to? And that's what this client was saying too. You're the only person that I can talk to about this because for everyone else, I've got to put on this face.
That's exactly.
That's strong and that we're okay, but I don't feel okay inside. Great. Of course you don't feel okay inside. Nobody would feel okay inside in that situation. And yet I also know that you have the gifts and the talents to grow through this with your business. That's the gift that I have to offer business leaders, professional leaders. Again, it's that purpose-driven. We're not just in it for ourselves. We're in it because what our vision is so big that it impacts other people. That's the kind of thing that really gets me excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally hear that. As a business owner who has a vision that's so big.
Yes.
My mission is to rid the world of self-created misery. That's a pretty big vision.
Yeah, mine is to elevate well-being on the planet, one leader at a time.
Okay, we're on the same page, Mary. We just have so much synergy between the two of us. It's really exciting, and I could talk to you all day. But unfortunately, we have to bring this to a close. So I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add that we didn't get a chance to talk about.
The highlights, what really stand out for me in this conversation, again, is the importance of ownership, taking ownership of our situation earlier rather than later. And that self-awareness piece, really being willing to tune into ourselves, that inner dialogue, and being willing to come to ourselves. Because if I can't come to myself, how do I possibly come to anyone else? How do I possibly be there for anyone else? So I think those were the highlights that I hope listeners heard in my stories.
Thank you so much. Do you have anything coming up you'd like to tell the audience about?
I do have a new group coaching program that is going to be launched in April. This program is designed to teach the system. I've worked with so many clients and so many teams. And recently, I had a client come back that I hadn't been working with for a couple months. We both noticed that he was definitely more in the external perspective. what I came away with that is I do a really good job of coaching people through this, but I wasn't teaching that client how to do this himself. What I want this program to be is I want to teach the process for, I'm calling it self-leadership. We lead others and we lead our business the same way we lead ourselves. And just as we've said, we're kind of hard on ourselves, which means that we're probably hard on other people and even box in our business the same way we box ourselves in. It's going to be a 6-month group coaching program, small group, no more than 10 to 12 members, where we really get to apply the system through the 6-month process. But my intention is at the end of that, we can go out and we know how to coach ourselves. That's starting up in April.
What I love about that is the same thing that I'm doing with Mental Freedom, and that is teaching people what they need to be able to help themselves instead of holding it close and only revealing little bits so that they're dependent on me to be able to move forward. That feels icky to me. That's my million-dollar word, icky. I like to help people be able to help themselves so that they don't need me. Yeah. Then I know I've done something well. You don't need me anymore. That's great. I love that. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe wanted to join this group or talk to you about anything else, how could they reach you, Mary?
My website is plenavita.coach, plenavita.coach. On that website, you'll see links for the group coaching program. But what I also want to point out is that I have a new blog. That started in January. And so there's several posts up there now that I think really highlight what my ideas are, what my philosophies are, what I would be teaching. It's a good way to get to know me and the system that I would be teaching. I also have a podcast called Fully Alive, where I, like you, speak with other coaches and business leaders around these concepts about self-leadership. Because a lot of these ideas, especially when we're talking about self-leadership, is contrary to the command and control kind of leadership that most of us have been brought up in. And so I really want to create that space where we are immersed in new language, new concepts, so that we can really ground ourselves in that.
That sounds transformational. I'm going to tune in for sure.
Excellent.
I really appreciate you joining us today, Mary. Thank you so much.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and remember to leave a review and share with your connections on social media. I also hope you'll join me next week when we'll be continuing the conversation on leadership. I'm looking forward to it. Talk with you then.
This has been another thought-provoking episode of Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life. To listen to past episodes, please visit our website at lifeequalschoices.com or listen wherever you download your podcast. And don't forget, remember to subscribe.